sharing your stories and hot topics. Welcome back to the Maggie Linton Show.
Well, tomorrow through Monday, I'll be on the road again, and you'll hear some of our favorite shows from the past. But we continue right now with a previous travel expert, Russell Hannon. Welcome, Russell. I should say welcome back.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me again, Maggie.
Well, listen, I was going to say, you've been a big hit every time you come on. And by the way, folks, of course, the phones are open. The number is 866-801-8255. Once again, that's 866-801-8255. For those of our listeners who have not heard who you are and what you do, talk about, just give them a little brief rundown.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm an ultra-economical travel expert, so I really apply lean principles to leverage different tools and resources together so that I can travel more and spend less. Going back 10 years ago, I felt I couldn't afford to travel much and thought I had to settle for just taking one big trip a year. I would spend months saving up for that big trip and often got back and spent a few more months paying off the balance. And at the same time, I worked in lean management, and I said, there's got to be a way that I can apply this, because lean is about finding ways to get better results in less time using less money. And I said, there's got to be a way I can apply this towards travel principles to leverage all the best resources out there to be able to travel the way I want to without having to pay the going rate. So really, that's what I specialize in.
And when you you said so much of it begins with the mindfulness of the fact that you do have the time to take the vacation.
Well, you know what? There's seven things that play a hand in any travel deal that you or I and anyone has ever had. One of them, now it's only one factor, but one of them is flexibility. So when we look at that, ironically, the most expensive mistake we make with planning a trip, it's usually the first decision we make. It's where and when we decide to go. We want to go to the same places as everyone else at the same time. And saving money can be as simple as sitting back and saying, okay, well, there's a lot of places I'd like to go to. And right now, with autumn, we're in a bit of a shoulder season right now, where with the relatively higher U.S. dollar, this is a great time to go visit places like Europe, for example, where we've got a relatively strong dollar. And tourist season is over right now, so we can get a lot of places there relatively less inexpensively. So just by going to places, being intentional about when you go and where, and leveraging what you have, higher U.S. dollar right now, and low travel season in certain areas, you can save a lot of money, as simple as that.
Yeah, very true. It's that off-season type of thing. Going to London, you don't want to go during Wimbledon. I mean, you could, but you want, maybe the week or two afterwards is when you can really get your best deals.
Well, you know what? I've actually done that for some of the Olympic venues. When the Olympics went to Whistler, actually, I went there during the Paralympics, and it was so much less expensive. And, you know, a lot of the Olympians were still there, and people were on ski vacations, and I still felt I got to absorb the magic from all the Olympics and such. So by piggybacking on those sorts of things, you can get to see those places without having to pay that premium rate that you were talking about.
Yeah, you really want people to put a little thought into it. And like they say, though, so many people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their financial future. But when it comes to travel, find out what kind of travel type you are. Like my sister and I look at each other all the time. And we say, we're not going to be camping anymore. And, you know, give us a hotel with a chocolate on the pillow.
Travel, I really see that as being part of your financial plan, because you mentioned we spend more time thinking about travel. And travel, the average family of four spends pretty much their monthly cost of living on a one-week vacation. So you're spending four times more for that average one-week trip than you spend for a whole month at home. And I know someone who was unable to go home to her father's funeral on the other side of the world because she couldn't afford to go back. And that's where I really say it's really important that we educate ourselves on how we can travel economically so that we don't one day have to find ourselves in those situations where we really have to or really want to be somewhere and feel that we can't go because of the cost.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that you bring out so true is really looking at America as a place for your vacation. Even though we've been talking about how strong the U.S. Currency is in foreign markets and things like that, but there are so many people who have never even seen this country.
Well, you know what? There's a myth or misconception that a thrill abroad is greater than a thrill near home. And I've met people. It's funny. I was in Prague and met some people there, and they were saying, I've never been to Budapest. I'd rather go to Hawaii than go to nearby Budapest. And these people were in their 50s, and I was thinking, how could you never go nearby? And what happens is we never get to those places because we take for granted. I think that's what the psychology is. Mm-hmm. And if we really, I think the key is the mentality, what you spoke about there, is by looking through the eyes of a tourist, don't take for granted those wonders that you have near home.
Yeah, that's where so much, this country is just so beautiful. I'm from Kansas, so we know how that kind of looks. And there's nothing, even then, I've been known to, you know, come up. There's not a lot of people on the highways there, that's for sure. But also, you know, just the right time of the year, say like when the wheat fields are out, and or in the fall of the year when you start seeing the leaves change and the fields do too. It's absolutely gorgeous, you know, during sunrise, sunset.
So beautiful. And something I'd like to mention, there's a few days every year where every national park in the United States, from everywhere from Olympic to Acadia National Park in Maine, actually makes it free to visit any of the 401 national parks in the United States. The next one coming up is in November. And if you Google U.S. national parks and click free days, or just type free days into your search, you'll see those actual days where you can go for free. So I often recommend that as a great way, whether it's the Grand Canyon or going to Yellowstone. All these places are included. So certainly it's much busier than usual on those days. But that's coming up this fall as well, where there'll be a few days where you can visit national parks for free.
Yeah, and a great time to see the national parks, especially if you're in an area where the leaves are changing.
Yeah, oh, it's so, so beautiful right now. It's actually, autumn is my favorite time of year.
Oh, okay. See, I like spring. And everything's in bloom, but you know, that's good. Yeah. Let's begin with how people choose where they're gonna, and one of the things you do talk about is in particular the people who are going on honeymoons, because almost everybody I know wants to go to an island, and it's like, really, you know, there are a lot of other places to go where you can still have a good time and take off your clothes with a swimming suit.
Well, ironically, I know a couple that got married last week, and the thing with that is, you look at the cost of a wedding. According to CNN Money, the average cost of a honeymoon last year was $28,000.
Whoa.
And when you consider that most newlyweds are relatively early in their careers and salaries are not as high as they one day will be, and that you have to juggle all these things together, is a lot of people feel they may need to skimp on the honeymoon. And you know, I was reading a survey, actually, by hipmunk.com. That's a travel website, where of 2,000 newlyweds, about 84% of them were saying that that they would actually cut back on the cost of the wedding if it meant a more luxurious honeymoon. So it gives you an idea of how much people are looking forward to those honeymoons.
Yeah.
And, you know, some things that I recommend, it can be as simple as, a lot of newlyweds are at the life stage where they need to get a credit card. Like, to buy anything online, you have to have one and such. So one credit card that I recommend for newlyweds that can help offset the cost of a honeymoon is a credit card that offers an annual companion pass. So there's a few credit cards where basically once a year you can bring a companion or a guest with you for an extra $121. Now, there aren't many of them, and most the one that I'm looking at now is in the Pacific Northwest. Alaska Airlines has a credit card where you can bring a guest with you for an extra $121. So even if you want to go to Hawaii, you can bring someone with you there. Only thing is, you have to be in the city that Alaska Airlines is based out of. So mm-hmm. if you're in the West, that's one thing that I recommend. And the key thing is just to consider taking your honeymoon a little bit in those shoulder seasons, as opposed to going at the peak time. I know some people who've got married and they actually postponed their honeymoon a little bit. Consider what you're looking for in a relatively low-cost country. I was in the Philippines last year, and I met a couple. It wasn't their honeymoon, but their one-year anniversary, actually. And going out there, the currency difference, everything's about 75 to 80% less expensive than in the United States with the U.S. dollar right now. So consider what you're looking for in low-currency countries.
Yeah, That's a good idea. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, more with Russell Hannon as we talk about breaking the barrier of travel. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. We continue with travel expert Russell Hannon. His book is Break the Travel Barrier, Travel More, Stay Longer, Spend Less. And of course, it's available at Amazon.com and other locations. And his website is really full of lots of information. Let's talk about getting from one place to another, not just by planes, because you talk about people driving cars for folks who are relocating, because so many people nowadays have more than one car.
Yes, that's right, actually. There are a few websites that actually help people offset costs while relocating. So generally, I've seen students do this, where essentially, if you're looking to get to a specific city, there's a few websites that you can go to and basically ask, basically you sign up, and when someone is relocating from one city to another, this is intended for people who are moving, to help them save money when they're moving, and sometimes people are flying from one city to another. So they pay people who are looking to get from one city to another with those that are looking to get their cars there. So that is one creative way that you can get from one city to another. Now, the websites, they're not coming top of mind to me. I'd have to look
well,
them up.
Well, because I marked it because I had never heard of it, is autodriveaway.com. And then in Canada, it's hittheroad.ca. And I mean, it's just something you don't think about. I love to drive. And I didn't know there was a service that was like that.
And I know someone that's done that, actually, who's gone to Florida a few times just by doing that. So he would actually drive the vehicle down, and then they would even offer to fly him back. Now, usually what they do is they give you the first tank of gas, and you have to pay for the fuel the rest of the drive. But some things are negotiable in terms of how are you going to get back and those sorts of things. And certainly a very creative way to be able to offset your costs. And I also recommend, in that case, you can do this. I know somebody that went to an auto mall at an airport and asked if any of the rental car companies had to return cars to the city that they wanted to go to. And after doing that a few times, actually, he did find someone that said, okay, well, you know, we do have a car that we have to return to this city, and if you bring it back for us, it'll be complimentary. We'll even pay for the fuel if you drop it off. So these things are a little bit harder to hit the target on. It takes a little bit more legwork, and if you're not flexible, you don't want to try this, because it can take some time to find a good match, but these are some real ways that people have actually gotten from one place to another.
Yeah, I just thought that was like I said, something I had never heard of, you know, where you could really do that. I mean, I've heard of people taking it, like you said, kind of like student things, but where you could actually do it, and that's much more fun. And also just cheap rentals, too, for cars once you get to a city.
Well, you know, car rentals are so difficult right now, particularly with all the nickel and diming that occurs in the insurance. At a very bare minimum, if you work with a company that offers a travel agent where you can get corporate rates, I recommend to take advantage of that. I work with a public company that encourages employees to use the corporate travel agency for personal travel. And so that's usually about 15% off the top, which is great. I usually recommend that what I always do is I always book an economy car, regardless of what I want. And when I do that, maybe one out of four times, I'll actually get a free upgrade. And that happened to me. I was in Los Angeles this summer. I had an economy car, got there. They didn't have any for me, so they gave me a nice big Mustang and didn't have to pay any extra for that. So once in a while, that can happen. If you always book economy, you can get upgraded. But I am a little leery about I get all kinds of emails, and I always dig in these $5 rate a day car rentals, and they usually don't turn out to be what they're promoting or advertising.
Yeah, you don't want to be going around in a rat trap, especially in Los Angeles, because breaking down on the freeway is not a good thing.
No.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, you know, if you really book regularly with any company, I won't even say who I book with regularly with now, but it seems like every city I go to, I get the what they call the city deal. And you were just talking about Los Angeles, and I'm sorry, I won't book an economy car, but I do midsize, and I got almost a week in L.A. for $99.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, with a named company. And you know, but I have booked probably 6-8 times this year already, maybe a little bit more. And every time I travel now, I'm getting the deal, you know. And so that makes you want to stay with them.
Now, to keep it that low, I really recommend booking with a credit card that offers a, it also includes collision insurance. So quite often you can get that covered. Now, particularly where you mentioned in California, if you go with their bare minimum insurance, if something does happen, this is for the liability insurance, you really have to understand terms and conditions, because what you don't know really can hurt you. And the thing is, we're talking about traveling more to save money, but you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're vulnerable. And I've seen with car rentals, sometimes we just pay the very bare minimum insurance. And with that, quite often, if something were to happen, is we are liable for significant dollars in a worst-case scenario if something did happen. So even with car rentals, there are also a lot of inexpensive alternatives. Any city that you go to, I recommend always going to the airport's website and just do a little search about transit. And like myself, I've paid a £94 fare from Heathrow to downtown London when they actually had a commuter train that went back and forth for £15. And because I did not do that research, I could have got around that. So every airport, their website lists all the options in terms of buses, in terms of shuttles. Quite often, even if you aren't staying at a hotel, when you get to the airport, you can take a shuttle to the hotel that's nearest to your end destination, and you're saving quite a bit of money like that if you're not going to be needing a vehicle throughout your entire stay.
Yeah. I have to tell you, one of the other things, like you were just mentioning that, we were in Boston this year, my husband and I, and we took the train up. And from the train to the car rental place was like $2.50 on this Silver Line bus that they have that drops you off right at the, you take the Silver Line to the airport, but that's where the car rentals are. Mm-hmm. And $2.50, but if I'd taken a cab, oh my God, it would have been almost $20.
Absolutely. Taxis are to be avoided.
If at all possible. Yeah.
All costs. And you know what? There is a lot of controversy that the taxi industry is putting on Uber right now. You've been hearing a lot about Uber in the news, particularly in New York City earlier this year. There was a bit of a revolt with taxis against it. And I've taken Uber, and what that is it's a match pairing service that puts together private drivers with people who are looking for a taxi. So there's two tiers of Uber taxis, essentially. There's those that have luxurious cars, and then everything else. And so they've got some screening processes, particularly for the Uber Black service, right, in terms of drivers and such. And then you have an app, and basically, if you're looking for a taxi, you just take a look to see where the nearest vehicle is. So everything is GPS enabled, and you can see all the available taxis, which are Uber drivers. You can see where they are, and you can connect directly with them, so you can find the nearest taxi and jump in. Fares are, I would say, about a third less than the average taxi. And if you sign up, or when you do sign up for the first time, they give you a credit for about $20. Now, this sign-up credit, it varies. Sometimes it's a little bit higher or lower, and you can apply that toward your first taxi with Uber. And then if you recommend friends to sign up, they give you additional credits as well. So you can actually stretch those credits quite a ways when you're taking cabs with Uber.
Yeah, and just realize that, folks, if you're coming into the airport when another two or three other flights are coming in, you really want to go with the Uber Black. It's more exclusive because you'll be standing in line for a long time, even with Uber. I want to go back and talk also just a little bit quickly about insurance. You know, check with your insurance company to see if you aren't covered. And you may have to pay. Because we travel so much, especially me, and I do a lot of car rentals, I'm paying like an extra, I don't know, $10-$20 or something with my company to cover me in any car that I'm in.
That's an excellent point. And you know what? I had overlooked that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned that to me, is before you pay for insurance, before your trip, call your auto insurance company and ask them. Tell them, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to be renting a vehicle. Does my insurance cover it? And if they say no, sounds like you did this, Maggie.
He
said, I would like to know if I can actually add that as a term to my policy. And it sounds like they charge you maybe an extra $20 a year, if I understood correctly.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. So, you know, for people, if you're looking for that and you don't... Because I think the fees that they ask for cars, it's like, really? It's a cost. We cost all over again of a car. And sometimes even for a whole day, you're almost paying more. So, check with your insurance policy that you normally have and make sure you aren't covered for it. Because, thank God, let me knock on wood, I've never had an accident with a car. But my sister did a few years ago. And because she had taken out the extra, it cost her nothing.
See, Maggie,
not even the deductible.
Maggie, I have to compliment you. You are what I would call an ultra economical traveler.
I've had to learn. And also because of tips like you. By talking to people like you, I've learned a lot. And I'm like a sponge when it comes to travel because I love to travel.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And a key thing is it's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes that cost us money, as long as we learn from them and continue to progress.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make those mistakes again in the future, and then we can really stretch our dollar further.
Yeah. It's also one of the things you say is, be prepared when you go to another town, another city, whatever, another country, because every now and then delays do happen. And just be prepared also for that.
Yes, that's right. The best suggestion I have for that is if there's somewhere that you have to be, is to plan to leave a day or two sooner. So get to your end destination a day before, or even two nights before, if you've got something really important that you have to be to. So you're going to a wedding. We were talking about weddings a while ago, for example. Is if we plan to just get there at the 11th hour, we're really exposing ourselves to difficulties. So that's where the balance is, okay, we want to travel more and less, but we don't want to skimp or put ourselves in a situation that defeats the entire purpose. So whether you're a five-star traveler or a backpacker, there's always ways that we can save money and pay less than someone else taking the exact same trip without compromising what's important to you for your trip.
And I have to tell you also, on your website again, folks, is breakthetravelbarrier.com. It's the same on Facebook, and then on Twitter, it's Russell Hannon. But you talk about so many different volunteer opportunities where sometimes people can even get a little pay for it. But that is a great way also to travel and kind of get immersed in the local scene.
That's right. Well, I see a lot of companies do this, actually, where it's part of their team building. I've seen dental clinics do this, where basically a whole dental office actually goes down to Nicaragua. This is my dentist, actually, was telling me that he'd done this last year. And so they go down there, and they offer dental services for kids for a week, and then they actually go hiking for a couple days. And there's so many volunteerism opportunities. A lot of people who are retired enjoy giving back and contributing. And so really, that's a way that you can immerse yourself with the locals and really make a contribution and find satisfaction that isn't really possible in terms of just indulgence travel, so to say. So certainly something to consider, and the rewards you get from that are really
immeasurable.
Great.
Listen,
yeah.
I gotta go. But listen again, folks, it is travel expert Russell Hannon. Thank you, Russell. Good talking with you again.
Thank you. Happy travels.